The word of God comes to us tonight in Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. Let's read the chapter. The text is verses 7 and 8. Joshua 1, beginning at verse 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, Pass through the host, and command the people, saying, Prepare you victuals, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. And to the Reubenites, and to the Gadites, and to half the tribe of Manasseh spake Joshua, saying, Remember the word which Moses the servant of the Lord commanded you, saying, The Lord your God hath given you rest, and hath given you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side Jordan, but ye shall pass before your brethren, armed, all the mighty men of valor, and help them, until the Lord have given your brethren rest, as he hath given you, and they also have possessed the land which the Lord your God giveth them. Then you shall return unto the land of your possession, and enjoy it, which Moses the Lord's servant gave you on this side Jordan toward the sun rising. And they answered Joshua, saying, All that thou commandest us we will do, and whithersoever thou sendest us we will go. According as we hearkened unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee, as he was with Moses. Whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment, and will not hearken unto thy words, in all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of a good courage. To that point, we read God's word tonight. Our text this evening is verses 7 and 8 of Joshua chapter 1. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Madeline, your situation making confession of faith here tonight is somewhat similar to Joshua's situation here in Joshua chapter 1. In three ways. First of all, your situations are similar in that you are both just starting out after a decisive moment in your lives. This is indeed a very decisive moment in the life of Joshua. Put yourself in Joshua's shoes here. This is the ordination, you might say, of Joshua into office of leader of Israel. Moses, the great leader of the people, has died. Moses, the servant of the Lord. Moses, the one who spoke with God face to face as a man speaks with his friend. Moses, the one who stood up to Pharaoh. Moses, the one who parted the Red Sea. Moses, the one who performed other miracles and led the people through the wilderness. He's now dead and gone. And now Joshua, a younger man, is put into this position of responsibility. And he must now serve the Lord in this new position with very little experience for what he is called to do. So you too, Madeline, are just starting out after a decisive moment in your life. God's grace has called you to arise to the position of public confessor of Christ in the midst of this church and world, staking your faith in Him and in Him alone, arising as a full member of His church. You represent not only yourself in a sense, you're part of a generation, part of a new generation arising on the scene of the church and world as confessing members in Christ Church. And here you are, starting out in this position. Though you've been a child of God for many years, yet you have little experience with what it means to take up this position now as a public confessor, a member in full standing in the Church of Jesus Christ. The situations of you, Madeline, and Joshua are similar in the second place in that you're both looking ahead to an unknown future at a very crucial moment in the history of Christ's church. Israel is certainly at a crucial moment in the history of the church. She is just about to enter into the land of Canaan. Critical, critical moment. The Exodus really is over. And now she must face great opposition that rises up before her in the Hittites and the Perizzites and the other ites. And there's questions, how will this go? What will this be like for the future at this critical moment? So too, in a time of confession of faith, as much as you look back on the past with gratitude, you can't help but think about the future too. And like Joshua and Israel, you stand at a crucial moment, critical moment in the history of Christ's church. It is the last days before the church enters into heavenly Canaan. At whatever point in those last days, it is specifically, it's in the last days, and the culture around you is eroding, and even portions of the church are eroding. And you stand for Christ by His grace in the midst of an ungodly age, a crucial, critical moment in the history of the church. And there are questions, how will this go? What awaits you? What awaits your whole generation? After the older generation goes on to glory and you stand upon the earth in the midst of this, how will this go? Third, your situation is similar to Joshua's, because though you stand before an uncertain future at a critical moment, there is something about the future that you know, same thing that Joshua knew about the future, and that's this: there will be great and many battles that await. Joshua knew this much, that at this critical juncture, there would be great battles. His task was to lead Israel into the land, conquer the land of Canaan, to give it to the 12 tribes of Israel. There would be battle after battle, battle upon battle, and so too, you know this. Whatever questions you have about your future and about how it will go for the church at this critical juncture, You know this much, there will be battles to face. The devil will redouble his efforts. He will seek to make confessors of Christ a blot upon the very name that they confess. The world and your own flesh will attack mightily. Battles and more battles await. Your generation will be tasked to lead the church in battle at this crucial juncture. No wonder the charge to Joshua is Joshua in the face of all of this. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. Be of strength and good courage. Joshua, good courage. If you take Deuteronomy 31, the previous chapter, and then Joshua chapter 1 together, Deuteronomy 31, where Moses, right before he dies, charges Joshua, and then Joshua 1, where God himself charges Joshua, six times between Moses and God himself, there is a call to Joshua to not be afraid, but to be strong and courageous. Six times. He needed it time and time again, and we need that charge time and time again. And you do who confessed your faith tonight, and your generation does too. And the specific call with regard to that courage, to be courageous, to stand upon the word. There's the answer in the face of what would naturally be fearful. At a crucial moment in the history of Christ's church. Just starting out, facing many questions, unknown future. Stand upon the word. There's your anchor. There's your light upon the path into that future. Follow the word and all will be well. And that's the specific charge now that we take up this evening to Joshua, to you, to all this congregation gathered here tonight. And we are assured in the giving of the charge, he will give what he commands. And by his grace, give courage to observe the word. That's the theme tonight, courage to observe the word. Let's notice first, safety in submission to that word. Second, the courage that is necessary. And third, the only possibility for the having of that courage. Courage to observe the word. At this crucial juncture in Joshua's life, the main charge of the text is, in fact, that Joshua must stand upon the word. It's repeated in both verses of the text. First, verse 7, observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded. And then again in verse 8, observe to do all that is written in the book of the law. The word used there is the law and the book of the law. The word is the Torah. It's a reference not just to the commanding aspects, but it's to the first five books of the Bible. The last one, Deuteronomy, which had just been completed and handed to Joshua not that long before this. The books of Moses, the first five books of the Bible. Here is the light upon your path into the future, Joshua. Watch carefully, observe, to follow what this word says. For us, that word is more than the first five books. It's the entire canon of Scripture, a greater gift and a greater guide. But the word of God to Joshua and to us is the standard upon which we must rest, is what we are to observe and follow into the future. There are plenty of other books around at the time of Joshua that he could read, probably did read some of them, and that he could look to. But Joshua, the Code of Hammurabi is not your standard. This book is to be your guide and standard. It is the final authority for faith and life in Israel. All the work of men and all the opinion of men must be submitted to this book, to this revelation. It's striking that God doesn't even tell Joshua in Deuteronomy 31 or Joshua 1 to rely heavily upon his advisors. Young as he is, you might expect that. And of course, Joshua should rely on his advisors in many ways. And he should study the word together with his advisors around them. It's the height of arrogance to study the word on one's own, isolated from the church and the history of the church. But even then, Joshua, everything is submitted to the word. The word is the standard and guide, and no works and words of men so to us. That word is to be for Joshua the changeless standard, even in changing circumstances. Remember now that the word that Joshua was to follow entirely and unquestioningly is the word of God that came through the mouth of Moses. Moses. And Moses, through whom that word has come, is dead and gone. And the situation through which Moses had led the people is dead and gone. They were on the Exodus, and that Exodus had its unique challenges, its unique difficulties. And God was giving revelation for the Israelites on that Exodus in those unique challenges and difficulties. But endless warfare was not one of those challenges and difficulties. And now the circumstances have changed. Things are different. Israel is poised to take the land. It's a new day. It's a new circumstance. Moses is dead and gone, and the word that he speaks must be dead and gone. Certainly, certainly, Joshua heard this. Certainly, there are voices saying, we need something else now, something new, a different guide, a different word, a different standard. It's a new day. Moses and the word through Moses, that's in the past, that's gone. The word departed with him, but God says to Joshua, this word must continue to be your standard. The same word, yet though Moses is dead, the word that passed through his mouth is not dead. Its revelation endures, it continues, and it continues for precisely this reason, that that word did not originate in the mind of Moses. It originated in my mind, and I am not dead and gone. And when I give revelation to my church, I take into consideration all the circumstances that you will ever face. It's the unchanging word to my church. Stand upon it yet. So too now. The book that you have been raised in, trained to understand, Madeline, is not out of style. The truths it contains that you have confessed here, boldly and publicly, are not relics of the past, no longer relevant to this age, and no longer relevant for the future that you and this generation will face. Though every man, every earthly mortal man through whom God gave that word is dead, this word is not dead. For the God who gave it is not dead. It's not a dead book, it is a living book, the unchanging standard for the faith and life of God's people yet today, and the guide for your future. Therefore, Joshua, therefore, Madeline, therefore, all of us, God says, observe to do it. All of it. Observe to do all of it. Verse 7, observe to do according to all the law. Verse 8, observe to do according to all that is written therein. Observe it. Pay close attention that you follow it. All of it. Don't let any of it go. Think of how the New Testament picks up that word all. In 2 Timothy 3, verse 16, when it describes the Scriptures, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. All of it, not just parts of it, all of it. Every Christmas, my grandparents give as a gift to my family one of those big containers that you can get from Costco that has those chocolates from all over the world in it. And then my children proceed, well, all the word. The word calls us to be honest, so I better be honest. The children and their father proceed to pick through that container and pick out the ones that they like and leave the others behind until somebody gets desperate enough for chocolate some months down the road. No picking and choosing, Joshua. All of it. All of it. Observe all of it. Follow all of it. All of it is from me, directly from me, in my mind, and properly understood in the light of the whole and in the particular place in the history of redemption. It is important for you, and there will be effects for forsaking any of it. Any of it. Don't go off the pathway. Stay upon the path of the word as it guides you into the future. Don't go to the right or to the left, says God to Joshua. It can be a temptation sometimes for some people in an age as godless, as wicked as this age is. It can be a temptation to find safety sometimes in going off the path of the word to the right. That there needs to be more than God's word, and more than God's word will be what keeps us safe. And to fall into the error of the Pharisees who did that very thing, they saw the godlessness of the Greek age upon them, and they said, more than God's word is necessary. And then they took the next step of making more than God's word actually God's word. Sway not to the right. Safety won't be found in swaying to the right. It's a temptation. In an age as wicked and godless as ours, to move to the left for safety. There's safety in numbers, and the numbers are getting smaller. And therefore, we have to move to the left. Everybody's moving to the left. If we're going to keep more numbers around us, we have to move to the left. Turn not to the right or to the left. Don't let parts of that word go. Calling legalism what is not legalism at all, but what is in fact the commands of Scripture. I've inspired all of it. It's perfect and complete as a whole, and all of it I give to you now exactly how it's supposed to be and what it says and what it doesn't say, all of it together. Take it all from me, understand it properly, and there's your path. Sway not to the right or to the left. Follow it into the future. Receive this word this way, Madeline. Receive this word this way, young people. Receive this word as the very words of God Himself to His church, all of us. Do you know what you hold when you hold that book in your hand? You hold something of the mind of God Himself. The very mind and word that spoke and created everything around you, the mind of God you hold in your hand. There's nothing more astounding in all the world than that. More astounding than anything on the internet, any video game that you could play, whatever else. That God would put His mind on paper in human tongue so that people can receive it. And that it would be such a miracle of revelation. That on the one hand, it's shallow enough for children to splash around in and understand great things. It's also, on the other hand, deep enough for God's people in the church to dive in and never get to the bottom. It's a miracle of astounding proportions, almost as astounding as the incarnation of God Himself in human flesh. To have the mind of God Himself on human paper and human words, receive it that way. This is the very word of God, and trust it to guide you into your future. You young people, and you, Madeline, growing up, you've splashed around in it as a child. And as you've grown and developed, you've been brought into deeper ends of it, and you've learned how to dive into deeper, deeper ends of it yourself, and into new areas of the pool. Continue, continue, If this word of God is given to you, continue to know it and to trust it. Verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do it. How can you continue to do it? How can you continue to follow it into the future if you don't continue to swim in it and continue to meditate upon it? If it doesn't continue to come out of your mouth, for you are thinking of it and living in it. Young people, some of you have experienced this already. Once you graduate from high school, there's a drop-off in other people feeding you the word. You don't have teachers feeding you the word anymore, at least not normally. You become more responsible for your own meditating upon that word, for it being and coming out of your own mouth. How important are the disciplines of the Christian life, a regular devotional life of being in the word, meditating upon that word throughout the day as a part of your regular life. Verses that pop up on your Facebook page are good, if you even have Facebook anymore, are good, but not enough. But to meditate upon that word day and night, in the reading of it, in the praying over it, how important the regular hearing of that word proclaimed on the Lord's Day, week after week, drinking it in, swimming in the preaching of the word. How important to study, to know, to make use of the creeds that will help you to grasp that word, so that you don't move to the right or to the left, as they've always been a treasure to the church, to keep her not moving to the right or to the left. How important Bible study, continuing with brothers and sisters, so that word is in your mouth, in your mind, in your mouth. How important relationships, friendships, where the word comes out of your mouth with each other. This is why the church lives this way. This is why she does these things. This is why this is her fellowship. So that she meditates upon it. So that it doesn't depart out of her mouth. So that she's swimming in the pool of that word. Walking together into the future upon it. You know, the Lord does a very gracious thing for Joshua here, if you think about it. Joshua's scared. He's scared. Why else would God repeat 6 times, "Do not be afraid, Joshua, do not be afraid"? It's because he's afraid. Given his situation, you can understand. He has all kinds of questions. When he thinks about that uncertain future, when he thinks about the battles that the church will face, when he thinks about the fact that he has little experience, he has a million questions that come into his mind, surely. What do I do? What do I do, God, when the people don't listen to me, like when I was one of the 12 spies? And they listened to the 10 instead of me and Caleb. What do I do then, God? What do I do when the opposing army before us is great and mighty, like the children of Anak? And we hardly have enough men to put an army on the field. What do I do when the people come to me with questions I can't answer? What do I do with this and that and this and that, a million things? But God doesn't answer any of Joshua's questions here, does he? He says, "You leave it all to me, and you leave the future to me too, and you focus on one thing, Joshua. Here is your responsibility. Here's the one thing, know and follow the word." That's where your focus needs to be today, tomorrow, the next day. I'll unfold the future. I'll take care of it. Know and trust my word. Something wonderful about that. For all of us, for the Church of Jesus Christ in this day and age, and all the questions. For a young person making confession of faith and all the questions about future and marriage and family and all of those things too, and questions parents have for the future of their children. But God focuses all here. I own the future. Here. Focus all of your attention here. Know, follow my word. Thy word will be guide through the dark jungles of the future. Whether one day you feel like in your own strength you can take on the whole world, or another day you feel like you're just trying to survive the next 20 or 25 minutes. Whether you feel like you're being attacked on every side, or whether you feel like the battle is little, you're safe in the Lord, the Word, always the Word. It doesn't matter two licks that you're inexperienced starting out. This Word is not inexperienced. The Word lacks no experience. It is not young. It is from the Ancient of Days himself. It will guide you into prosperity and success, says God to Joshua. Of course, not talking about earthly prosperity and success, riches and wealth. When verse 8 speaks of prosperity, the Hebrew word means to see through. And success is wisdom to see through. And that's the point. God sees through the future to the end, to the land of Canaan. Safe passage is the idea. A life unto the heavenly Canaan, not destroyed, consumed by the godless culture, tossed on the heap of useless and wasted lives. That's success unto God. Safety into the future is in the Word. But now, understand, Madeline, and young people, and all of us here this evening, that it's going to take the spiritual virtue of courage to stand upon that Word into the future. That's why the Lord commands it to Joshua in verse 7, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law. Hear that carefully. Only be thou strong and very courageous, so that you may observe to do it. In other words, God is not just saying to Joshua, be strong and courageous to face the future, and here is the Word to give you that strength and courage, although that's true enough. But he's saying, Joshua, observe the Word as you go into the future. And by the way, Joshua, it's going to take a massive amount of strength and courage to observe the Word and to follow it and to not turn to the right or to the left. Be courageous, Joshua, to observe the Word, to stand upon that Word, unmovable. Courage is the spiritual virtue to continue in the way that God calls His children to continue in His Word despite opposition. It's the spiritual virtue to continue to move forward in the way that God calls them to continue in His Word in spite of opposition. It is spiritually what a salmon has to do to spawn, to keep swimming in the right direction, the direction that God has given in His Word to spawning salmon to go, in spite of the opposition of all the water going the wrong way and the other fish going the wrong way. Courage is to keep going in the right path in accord with the Word of the Lord, even though there's opposition around you and fear within you. Courage is Isaiah 43, verse 2. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. But it's the passing through and the walking through waters and fires that is the definition of spiritual courage, to keep going, to keep moving in the right direction, though the waters are going the other way and the fires are raging around. Spiritual courage is spiritual strength put into action. God says to Joshua, only be thou strong and very courageous. courage takes strength because courage is strength in motion. Courage is the use of strength, the strength of conviction, the strength of trust in the word of Jehovah God now being put into action in one's life. That's courage pushing forward, confessing, living, not stopping, not turning to the right or to the left. Courage, Madeline. Courage. Courage, young people. Courage. Courage, Church of the Living God. Courage. To keep going upon that word and to not be swayed to the right or to the left, to hold the faith once for all delivered to the saints in doctrine and in life. Courage, people of God, courage. Courage, very much. Only be thou strong and very courageous. As I said, this isn't the first time that Joshua has been charged to be strong and courageous. If you include Deuteronomy 31, 6 times total. Verses 7 and 8 is, however, the only time out of all those that God charges Joshua to be very courageous. Very courageous. We have to take note of that. Just in Joshua 1, Joshua's called to be courageous 3 times. The first is in verse 6, where he is to be strong and courageous because he is to lead the people into their inheritance in the land of Canaan. The second is verse 9, after our text, where he is called to be strong and courageous because, after all, there is fear in him, terrorizing, debilitating fear that will paralyze him, and he must be strong and courageous in the face of his own fear. And then the third is in our text, be strong and courageous to observe the word, to follow the word, because you have to follow the word, and only here in this one does God add that little word, very. Because yes, you have to take the land, and it takes courage to take the land, and yes, you have to battle your own fear, and it takes courage, spiritual courage, to battle your fear. But to observe the word in the midst of the world, in the midst of all of the pressure and all of the calls to turn to the right or to the left, that takes courage very much. It's interesting to see how this struck Joshua himself. He noticed that word very right here in verses 7 and 8. At the end of the book of Joshua, when Joshua's an old man and he himself stands up to charge the Israelites, he charges them to courage, to strength and to courage, just like God did to him. And it's only when he charges Israel to courage, to observe the word, to follow the word, that Joshua himself inserts that word very, just like God had done with him so many years ago. Joshua 23, verse 6, be ye Israel, therefore, very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that ye turn not aside therefrom to the right hand or to the left. It takes more courage to stand in the word than it does to battle giants in the land. It takes more courage to stand in the word than to battle one's own fear. Standing in the word takes very much courage. Why? Because in fighting giants, you're opposed by the world. In fighting your own fear, you're opposed by your own self, your own old man. But in standing upon the word, you're opposed by anything and everything all at the same time. The threefold enemy of the devil, the world, and your own flesh all at once. The devil's all over the child of God and all over the church of Christ as a whole to get her to move off of that word, tempting, twisting even that word, turning it. Yea, hath God said. Yea, hath God said, young people. Is this really what God said? The world is all over the child of God. The world is all over the church to forsake this word. It is a dead text. It's a relic of the past. It's no different from the Epic of Gilgamesh or something else that the whole culture is constantly pulling and pushing to the left, especially the left. This way, this way. You don't want to be left here alone as a fool, looking different from all the rest. And often with mocking words, it's not true. You could take some nice inspirational quotes from it every now and then if you want, gather some nice inspirations and strengths from it, but don't observe to do it. And certainly don't observe to do all of it. Maybe from those close, even in the family. The devil is all over. The world is all over the child of God. And then there's the pull and the push of our own old man that rises up within us. The same old man that rises up and says, I will be God. I will determine good and evil for myself. I will make my own way. I will forge my own path. There's a Pharaoh within us crying out, who is the Lord that I should obey him? Courage, young people. Courage. Courage, Madeline. Courage, Church of the Living God. Stand upon that word and to put conviction into action, to walk into the future upon this, and to move not to the right or to the left. The courage of Daniel to not bow to the gods of the age, though it meant for him a den of lions. The courage of three friends to not bow, though it means a furnace of fire. The courage of Joseph, young men, to not go to bed with another man's wife or someone who isn't your wife or even on the internet, even if it means a dungeon for you. The courage of Peter and the apostles before the leaders of the Jews in Acts 5. We ought to obey God rather than men, even if it means stripes upon your back. The courage of Luther before all the powers of the earth. My conscience is captive to the word of God, and no one will move me from it. Courage. Say things like this too. I'm too weak. As a young man, I can't have a computer in my room alone. And things like this. I'm too weak as a young person. I need accountability from my friends, from my parents when I date. Courage to say no. That's off the path to the left. I'm not going. I'm standing upon the word of my Father. That's on the path to the right. I'm standing on the word of my Father. Strength and action. Going forward in spite of opposition as you face the future. A courage, Madeline, young people, and all of us, that is not possible in your own strength. Courage is strength in action, spiritual strength in action. You don't have strength to put into action. And I don't have strength to put into action in myself and of myself. And the very God who calls his church to courage, and to stand upon the word and to enter into the future upon that word, is the God who supplies the strength and the courage himself. He's the God who does so in part by the very call to courage, by the call itself. Joshua's father stirs up courage within Joshua. This is my father calling me to courage and strength. Stirs up life within. Courage wells up. But there's a strength, beloved, that has to be there first, in order to be stirred up by the call. And a strength that comes in the text from God's own abiding presence in the lives of his people. now and into that unknown future. Before and after the text. Before, verse 5, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Verse 9, have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee. I am with you, I will never leave you, nor forsake you. Joshua's strength came from the very presence of God with Joshua. The presence of God in the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire that was with the Israelites in the camp, right there, the whole way. Courage would be born from the strength of the presence of God constantly in their midst. That's where your strength will come from. Young people in mine, and Church of the Living God, from the presence of God with us as He promises. It's not just an Old Testament promise. I will be with you and I will never leave you nor forsake you. Hebrews 13, verse 5, which is in fact the New Testament's application of this very text. For He saith, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Still, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And He proved it. He proved it. He came to be with you in Jesus Christ, God Himself, in our midst. And when Christ returned, ascended to glory, He sent back another comforter, His Spirit, to dwell with us, to never leave us or forsake us, to enter into the holy place of the hearts of God's own, to dwell there and to never, ever leave. Though we grieve that Spirit with our sins, He doesn't depart. Though we walk off the path to the right sometimes and to the left sometimes, that Spirit pulls us back. Though we cower in fear at the presence of what is before us, He strengthens, the Spirit strengthens. And by the Word, He is the source of strength from which comes courage. The joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord's presence will be your strength. A supernatural strength communicated by a supernatural person. How do we pass through the water? Pass through the fire with courage. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the fires, they shall not overflow thee. We are weak, but He is strong. And He is with us and never leaves or forsakes us by the strength that He works within us. The call to courage then comes, and that Spirit fills us with courage rising out of the strength that He puts within, especially when He calls powerfully for that courage out of the heart, where the Spirit is already applying the other aspects of the Word of God. Like the promises of the Word of God, a promise like this one that came to Joshua in verse 6. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide the land. Not be strong and of a good courage, so that hopefully you'll be able to divide the land. Be strong and of good courage. For you shall divide the land to the people that I swore to their fathers to give them. You shall. This doesn't take away the calling to courage, but it enlivens it. It enables it. This end is sure, and the end of Canaan for God's people is sure too. It's promised. It's promised. The land is certain. And knowing that, when I'm called to courage and the Spirit's presence is within, it's stirred up within me because I know the end is sure, because I fight in victory and I follow the Word into a victory that's sure. And then chiefly this promise of the Word, of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Christ who ensures that those promises are all yea and amen. Don't forget that Joshua is Jesus. The name is the same, and don't forget that Joshua is a great picture of Jesus. that the Lord Jesus is the true and greater Joshua, who with great and unending strength and great and undying courage followed the word of God and never turned to the right or to the left, and who faced in his future battles the greatest battle of hell itself and Satan and did not back down, and who conquered the land for all of God's people so that it's yours, so that the promise comes, Canaan is yours, it's sure. And now tells the children of God that even though you're sinful and even though you're weak and even though at times you will drift right or left, your weaknesses I have paid for, all of it's done, and I call you now to courage. And by the Spirit, courage rises up out of the strength of the hope of the gospel. Courage, Madeline. Courage, young people. Courage, Church of the Living God. Stand upon his word. As you go into the future, he'll lead you safely through and home. Amen. Father in heaven, bless thy word to our hearts and grant the spiritual virtue of courage to this young person, to these young people, and to thy church. To stand upon thy word all the way until thou dost take us home. In Jesus' name, amen.